Let's open our Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 6. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please, let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." Verse 3. Then one said, "Please, consent to go with your servant." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and it cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he struck off, so he cut off a stick and threw it in there. And he made the iron float. Verse 7. Therefore, he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hands and took it. Tremendous. Father, this morning, as we go into your word, let the light from heaven shine into our hearts, O God. Let there be an illumination of this word. Let the relevance of this passage come alive in our heart, especially as we prepare us for the beginning of a new year. I pray, O Lord, for a fresh anointing upon myself as I speak your word, and upon the heart and the ear of your people as they hear it. Let's receive this word, O God, as the word that is coming from the throne room of grace, and let this word make very great impact in our heart. Let it preposition us for the things you are about to do in our life. Let it place us at a covenant angle to reflect the sun that is coming from your presence. We just thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness, that you will do this and much more. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say a big amen. Amen. Praise God. The first part of this series that I'm going to be taking today, I'm going to be speaking on a message that I've titled, "You Are More Than This." You are more than this. And right from the outset, I want to say that we're not going to go into kind of a motivational speaking. So it's not so much of motivating you, you know, the usual way. It's more of impacting you by the grace of God with some knowledge that will, like I said, position you for what God is about to do. So it's not just mere motivation. You can do this, you can do that, you can fly. You can jump from, you know, 10-story building and all those things. No, it's not about telling you to do stuff that is crazy. It's about telling you what God is about to do, and you coming to a point where you can reflect the light that is coming from His throne. There is a covenant angle, I believe, that God wants to position us before the year comes, and this is part of what you like to call a preparation for that. Like I said, I'm going to be speaking on what I title, "You Are More Than This." Please say with me, "I am more than this." Great. I'm more than this. You're more than this. Now, as human beings, we have limitations, you know. We have several limitations around us. And by the very fact that we're dwelling in this physical body, we are limited. And when I say we're limited, I mean we're limited in certain areas. For instance, we're limited in terms of space. We're limited in terms of time. We're also limited in terms of resources. Now, we are limited in space. By that, I mean that you can only be in one place. The fact that you are here means you are not in Midland. You know? The fact that you are here means you are not in India. Okay? So you are limited in space. You can only be at a place at a point in time. Right. We are also limited in terms of the time in our hands. There are only 24 hours in a day, and we can't do anything about that. You can't extend it. You can't constrict it. You can't prolong it. You can't do anything. You can do nothing about that. It's just 24 hours. And the number of days are already limited to 365 days, 360 366 in the new in the leap year, and then you go into the other year. Now, if by 31st of December now, at 12 midnight, people cross over into a new year, you can't choose that, well, I still want to remain in 2014 because I've not completed what I want to do. You can't choose to do that. You know, everybody goes into 2015 and you say, no, I'm not going. I still want some days more here. No, we're limited because that one has already been, the frame of time has already been packaged and we're just within the limit. We're just going to work within that limit, within the confine of that limit, you know. And that's why the Bible says, in Psalm 19, verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom, because we are limited by time, you know. And we're also limited in terms of resources, you know, whether financial resources, skills, our experience, we have limitations, we have boundaries, you know. Our skills are limited. You know, you can't choose to be a lawyer on Monday and be a doctor on Tuesday and be an engineer on Wednesday. No, it doesn't work like that. Your skills are limited. Your resources are limited. The money in your hands are limited. No matter how much money people have, it's still within the confine of a limitation. Even millionaires, people that have a lot of money, billionaires, they still have limitations because you can still count whatsoever resources in their hands. So men, by virtue of where we are and where we've been placed, we have limitations. Now, and that God doesn't have any trouble with that, you know. I think what God have trouble with, if you want to put it that way, is us not being effective because of the limitations that we think we've got. What is the problem is not those limitations. The problem is those limitations determining the extent to which you can do things and be effective in life. That's where the problem is. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, the limitations and the boundaries, some of these things, we meet them there. It's not like we work them out. For instance, when God was going to make Adam, he made Adam in his image after his likeness, but he put him in a particular place. The Bible says God planted a garden, and he put man there. So by the virtue of the fact that God planted a garden means that there was supposed to be a boundary around which Adam was planted. So there was a boundary already. Garden of Eden, by the way, is not the entire world, okay? Garden of Eden is a section of the world. Some people are talking about it being somewhere in the Middle East. You know, I don't know. I'm just saying some people said so. So God planted him there. So there was a boundary around him. Now, but I'm sure you know as well as I do that God wouldn't have planted Adam there if he felt and if he thought that all the descendants of Adam had to remain within the confine of that garden. I don't know how big the garden was, but obviously I don't think it's going to be a garden that was designed for 6 billion or 7 billion people that you have now. It was expected that at some point, Adam will take off the resources that God has put into him to expound his boundaries. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Although it was planted in a physical boundary, but there was something God has put within him that at some point in time, as he populates and as they increase in number, the resources in his heart and in his mind would enable him to expand his territory and his boundary to suit his requirement. And that was why, even after the fall of man, of course, we know that Adam did not fulfill all the plans of God in the context of the fact that he fell into sin. But even after the fall of man, in chapter 11, the Bible records that some people were trying to build something. And what they were trying to build, they wanted to build it up to the heavens, up to the sky. Now, when we read that passage, what we get out of that passage is that the power of unity. Remember, God said, there is nothing that these people have imagined that is going to be taken away from them because they are going to accomplish it. Now, we think in the context of the power of unity, and it's true. But we also need to think in the context of the fact that there is so much tremendous resources that God has put into man to accomplish things beyond his physical boundary that he was put into. So God put man in the boundary, but there was so much of great resources in his heart to expand and to increase that boundary. Now, I've just said that we are limited because we have a limitation in space, we have limitation in time, we have limitation in resources. But God does not want us to use the limitations that we've got as an excuse not to be effective in life. What I mean by that is, if it means that we need to do something about those limitations in order to be effective, so be it. God wants us to do things that will remove the influence of the limitations around us, so that we don't begin to use the limitations as an excuse for us not being effective. Is somebody get what I'm talking about? Now, for instance, if you, many years ago, I would believe that if you were going to play footy, they would tell you you can only play footy during the day. Why? Because that's when the sun is up. Okay? I will imagine that it was going to probably be a crazy idea to be fixing a footy match at 9 o'clock at night, because you're not going to see your teammate, not to talk about the ball. You know, 9 at night was going to be a crazy idea because the sun will have gone down hours before. Okay, so man was, as it were, limited in that context to play their footy game during the day when there was light. But as far as time advanced, as man began to advance, they begin to think there was no reason not to have a footy game at night. We can deal with the limitation of the day, or extend the day, whatever it was in the day, we can extend it to the night. And now you have floodlights, such that if you choose to want to play a footy game at 2 a.m., you can. Now, what has happened in that context? Now, the limitation is still there. The sun still goes down the normal hour that it goes down. But the impact of the limitation has been removed because men have come up with an idea to create floodlights so that at least they will have lights to do the game. Because man was not actually going to be looking for the sun to be up there before they can actually do the game, play the game. They just needed light. So they needed to create light to be available at the time that they want to create or to play the game. So it was going to be a stupid excuse for any man to come to God and say, well, I worked during the day. I was going to be involved in playing footy, but you know, at night, the sun is gone. So I'm limited. So there is a limitation. I can't do anything about it. God will say, of course you can. Say, so what do I do? Do I keep the sun up there until I am able to come home in the evening and play the game? No, of course you can do something about it. Exactly the same way it is in our life. Those limitations, they are there, and many of them, we can't do anything about them. But the influence of those limitations could actually be reversed. We can actually do something about the influence of those limitations. And that's the trouble God has with many of his children, because we keep those limitations there and we say, we can't move forward. We are confined. So we can't do anything. Because even in the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was able to demonstrate to us that we don't have to live within the confine of the limitedness of our limitations. What I mean by that is, he was able to demonstrate to us that, of course, there is limitation in time, in space, and in resources, but those things still don't account for the reason why we cannot be effective in life. Is somebody following me this morning? In Matthew chapter 8, for instance, we talked about the limitation in space. Jesus was ministering, and a centurion came to him. A centurion is a Roman soldier, and then in charge of other soldiers. So he came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, my servant is healed. I want you to come and heal him. And Jesus said, I will come. Matthew chapter 8. Jesus said, I will come. And the man said, No. You don't have to come. Just send the word. And Jesus responded, we don't have the time, we will have gone there. And Jesus said, I've not seen a great faith like this in Israel. And of course, Jesus released the word, and the servant was healed. The Bible says, in that same hour. Now, listen to me. Now, Jesus had a limitation in space. He could only be at a place at a time. Right. But his effectiveness was not in any way marred by the limitation. Why? Because he was still able to be effective, even though he was not there. So the effect of the limitation, as it were, was removed. And the most important thing is to get the job done, whether you are there, because the reason why Jesus was going to go there was to go and heal him anyway. Now, and eventually he still got him healed without having to go there. So he had, as it were, removed himself from the pedestal of the natural, placed himself, as it were, on a covenant angle, and was still able to be effective, even though he was still operating under the natural limitation that every man has. That's what I'm talking about. The limitation of space. Now, Talk about the limitation of time, for instance. In Mark chapter 11, it's a very familiar story. Jesus was going to go into Jerusalem. He was actually moving with his disciples, and he saw a fig tree, you know, and the Bible says Jesus caused the fig tree. And the following day, they were passing through the same place, and his disciple, you know, said, "Look, the fig tree you caused is dried up." And Jesus said, "Have faith in God," and he explained the situation to them. Now, when we read that passage, what comes out to us is that Jesus was trying to teach faith. And of course, Jesus was trying to teach faith. But much more than that is the fact that something happened about time in that instance. Now, what happened? There was an acceleration, a constriction, as it were, of time to get that event done. What do I mean by that? Now, the Bible says the tree dried up from the root. It wasn't the drying of the leaves. It was the drying of the tree. Now, you will agree with me that trees don't take hours to dry up. Trees take weeks, sometimes months, especially a kind of tree that was described in that place, a fig tree. It was supposed to take months or weeks to dry up. What actually fascinated them, and that's what made sense to them, and we probably don't appreciate that now, was the fact that, look, Lord, a tree dried up in 24 hours just before, because you said it. There was a packing together, as it were, of things that would have taken weeks and months together in a short period of less than 24 hours. Why? There was a limitation of human circumstance removed because the Lord Jesus placed himself at a different covenant angle to operate in the natural. So there was an overcoming of the limitation of space by the Lord Jesus. There was also an overcoming of the limitation of time. Because time was not going to disturb him from accomplishing what you needed to teach these people something. And it doesn't need weeks and months to teach them. He needed to teach them, and he needed to teach them within a couple of hours. So, how would that be accomplished? Because the limitation of time had to be overcome to establish that. And that was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody will say that was Jesus, but that's to all of us, and we're going to see that in a moment. Now, so Jesus gave us an example that space was not supposed to be a limitation to us in being effective in life. Time is not supposed to be a limitation to us in being effective in life. What about resources? What about skills? What about ability? In Luke chapter 5, something happened. Jesus had just disciples. They were not yet disciples at that time. They were just doing their fishing work. You know, normal fishing business. You know, maybe Peter and John fishing business limited. Perth, you know, something like that. And then Jesus came into the scene and he said, and those guys were washing their net because they have toiled all day. They could not catch anything. These were professional fishermen. They were trained in how to locate where fishes were. All right. Now, Jesus came into the scene and he said, "Guys, can I borrow your boat?" And they gave it to him. I mean, it's so easy to give it your boat out when you have not made any money and the business is not even running anyway. So why not? So they gave it out. And Jesus preached from there. And after Jesus had preached, he said, "I should bless these people. Peter, why don't you cast your nets? And if you get home, check it. Nets, with a plural, many, into that spot." Now, don't forget, this was a carpenter. Jesus was trained as a carpenter. And that was the usual thing then, because the parents usually passed their vocation to their kids, you know. Like, you are a nurse, you are a teacher, you will pass it across. It would be nice if that still happens. Although my kids will reject wanting to be a doctor. Anyway, that's another thing. So, Jesus was a carpenter, and he spoke to Peter, "Cast your nets there." And Peter said, "We've toiled all night, we've not caught anything. You are a carpenter. I am a fisherman. I was trained in the school of fisheries. But because you said it, I will do it." And the Bible says they cast the net. Check it. Singular. Net. Jesus says, "Cast your nets." They cast their net just to fulfill what you said. And the Bible said, when they drew it out, they couldn't. Massive. Because the fishes that were there were supposed to be taken care of by nets, not by one net. Okay. And they drew it up. And when they saw it, Jesus says, Peter said, oh my God, this is a miracle. Now, you know the rest of the story. Of course, they abandoned their stuff and they followed Jesus. Now, what had happened there? There was an overcoming of the limitation of skills. Jesus was not supposed to have any idea of where fishes were. Now, but the limitation was not going to disturb him from being effective. Now, I've gone into all those examples just to let us know that in life, even though there are limitations around us, those limitations are not supposed to limit our level and our status of effectiveness. And there is not going to be an excuse for anyone present here today to say, I am limited, that's why I cannot achieve. No. Because there is always something that God can do, even in the context and in the confines of our limitation. Now, in life, we have several limitations. I've just mentioned some of them. Some of us are thinking, if only I had time, you know, I would have done better. In that particular exam. If only I had more money, I will do this, I will do that. You know, if only I had more people, more connection, I will be much better than this. And we keep giving reasons why we think we are limited. And those reasons are not just frivolous. They're not just flimsy reasons. We think they are legitimate, you know, because they are actually real stuff. Some of us have not been able to make a moving forward because of money issue. We think we need money to sort a particular thing out. We think we need help from people. We think we need friends to support. Some of us think we are in our troubles and in our confinement because we don't have enough cousins, enough aunts, friends, uncle, somewhere based in the U.S. who does our dollars. You know, and that's where we are in constrictions, where we are in constricted, where we are in this kind of limitation. We can't move forward. Some of us even are accusing, you know, our spouses. No, if only it's my husband, that's my limitation. Or it's my wife, that's my limitation. Some people call their parents their limitations in life. You know, some say it's my children that are limiting me. You know, my friends are limiting me. In fact, the government of Australia, those are my limitation. You know, if you can deal with them, they are the principalities and powers restricting my progress in life. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Some people think, no, it's Perth as a city. This city is a bad city. Anywhere apart from Perth, then I will prosper. So my limitation is Perth. All right? Some people think, well, it's the people I work with. Oh, it's my colleague at work. Oh, it's my boss. That's my limitation in life. If you can remove that boss, then I will prosper in life. Okay? Some people think, oh, well, it's the area I live in. Ellenbrook is a bad place to live in. You know? I'm just giving you examples of the limitations that if only I could move closer to the city, then I would be more prosperous. My business would be better than what it is. You know? And we have every reason, every excuse around us as limitations. Some of them are real limitations. But I want to submit to you on the platform of the Word of God that no limitation is strong enough or should be strong enough to prevent us from being very effective in life. Now, the story we have just read this morning is the story of some people in the, what you would like to call a school of ministry in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 6. And I just want to bring out a few things that these guys experienced that we need to learn from in order to go beyond our limitations in life. And the first thing I want you to realize in the place is that, one, they recognize the limitation. They recognize the limitation. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. This place is too small for us. So the first thing is to recognize the limitation. Recognize your limitation. And somebody will say, well, that's clear. And of course, you don't need rocket science to recognize your limitations. You know that it's money that is the limitation. You know that it's time is the limitation. You know that it's support from people. That's the limitation. You know that it's the location. That's the limitation. You know that it's connection with people. That's the limitation. You know that it's economic situation. That's the limitation. I mean, you can keep on going and going, but I think we should be careful that some of the things that we call limitations, we're not actually the ones adding them to the list of our limitations. What do I mean by that? I mean, some of the things that we have listed out as our limitations, are they really our limitations, or we have added some to the list? Now, something happened to the young man in the passage of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Now, we all know the story. He went far away from home, squandered his resources, was suffering. And one day, he came to himself, and he was going to go back. Now, if you had asked that boy what were his limitations, these were going to be the likely things that you will have found on his list. Number one, disobedience is my limitation. And of course, that was true, because the boy was disobedient. He would have said, well, being wasteful is one of my limitation. And of course, it would have been correct, because that was part of his limitation. He was a wasteful boy. He would have probably said, womanizing was part of my limitation. If you remember, his elder brother actually accused him of spending his lots with the harlots. So that was going to be his limitation. We could even squeeze in deceitfulness. The guy was deceitful. He asked for his things from the portion that belonged to him from his father. He didn't tell the father he was going to run away from home. So he was very corny and deceitful. Yeah, well, that was part of his limitation. But none of us would probably have thought that the boy was going to talk about being disowned as part of his limitation. You know what he said in Luke chapter 15, verse 19? I will ascend and I will go back to my father's house, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So if you had asked him, he would have thought that one of the things that is limiting him was the fact that he had already been disowned by his father. I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son, so just make me one of your servants. So disowned, being disowned was supposed to be part of the things that would make it to his limitation list. But let me ask you, people of God, was that supposed to be part of his list as limitation? Was he ever disowned? No. He was never disowned by his father. The father saw him from afar, and he started making preparation. He ran to him, fell upon his neck, kissed him, and brought him home. He was never disowned. But if you had asked him when he was in the foreign land, he thought that it was disowned, and that's why he probably would have stayed longer as long as he stayed before he went back home. So what I'm saying in essence is some of the things that has made it to our own limitation list, we need to check it, because they might never have been part of the limitations that we need to deal with at all. They probably are things that we have added as part of the list just to make it fuller, you know, just to make the list, you know, the sheet, you know, look more presentable, because there are so many limitations there. So the first thing we need to do is to recognize the limitation, like these people did. So recognize the limitation. Now, two, refuse the finality of the situation. And this is very important. This is very key. Refuse the finality of the situation. Refuse the finality of the situation. Refuse the finality of the situation. Now, the sons of prophets said this in verse 2. Please, let us go to the Jordan. Why would they want to go to the Jordan? Because they think that this restricted position that they were shouldn't be the final thing. There should be something we can do about this. Elisha, we have been staying with you. We're sons of the prophet. And by the way, the sons of the prophet doesn't mean the biological children of the prophet. Just talks about the group of prophets or people that are in the school of ministry, as it were, you know. We've been staying with you, Elisha, but this shouldn't be the final thing. There should be something better than being crowded in the same room with you. Let's go. And that's very, very important for us to know, because we need to refuse that the situation is final. Because many people, you know, there are several ways to respond to limitations. Now, even with people that have correctly recognized their limitations, there are still several ways that people respond to limitations. Now, number one, people respond to limitations by complaints. People complain about limitation. And you can choose to complain by limitations, but I can tell you that complaints don't change the situation. Complaints don't change the situation of your limitation. I mean, you can start from morning till evening and complain about how you are in the position you are because there is no money, how you are in the position you are because there is no support, how you are in the position you are because nobody is going to help, because nobody is going to support you, because of the situation around you, because your family members are not good enough to understand and to key in into your needs. I mean, you can keep on complaining, but nothing is going to change about the situation. It's still going to remain the same, perhaps even worse as the day progresses. So, number one, people complain about things, and like I said, it does not work. Number two, people cover up their limitations. In other words, they suffer in silence. Some people play what we call the ostrich game. If I cannot see them, they cannot see me. You know, that kind of a thing. You know, let me just suffer in silence. Let me not reveal whatever I'm going through to people. I just keep it to myself. So my limitations are just known to me and not shared with people. And of course, they have good reasons, seemingly good reasons for that, but that still does not solve the problem. Covering up the limitations that you've got does not solve the problem. If you've got limitations, covering it up and not telling people, is still not going to solve the problem. I'm not saying that's the solution, but that still does not solve the problem. Some people actually, the third thing they do about their limitation is that they celebrate their limitation. You know? People have party about their limitation. We call it pity party. You know? They say, have you heard that I'm actually in this terrible state because I don't have money? You know, and then they go to the next person. Has he told you? Because I've just told her yesterday that I'm actually in trouble because I don't have money. I can't progress in life because I don't have money. My whole world is crashing because I don't have money. And they don't actually need you to solve the problem. They are not telling you to solve the problem. They just want you to say, "Oh, sorry." That's exactly what they want. And that's well, people get disappointed when they come to you and they share things like that and you don't respond, you know, with some level of pity and say, "Oh, sorry. Oh, your world must be crashing. In fact, it has crashed." And then you will say, "Yes." You know, you know. So people respond to limitations by celebrating it. But none of the ways that I've talked about actually work. The one that work is to confront the limitation, is to stand against it and confront it. And when I say confront, and that was why I started, I'm not saying that you are going to change the limitation or whatsoever is limiting you. I'm saying that there is always a way around the situation such that what you consider as limitation does not keep you there. Do you get what I'm talking about? And that was why I started with the issue of the people that I want to play footy at 2 a.m. No ingenuity of man has ever extended the period that the sun is going to stay up there. There is only one recorded in the scriptures, and that was when Joshua, he spoke to the sun, stay in Gibeon, moon, stay at the valley of Ajalon. And I don't think God expects you to be doing that every day because there is going to be confusion. Because you will always keep waking up in the morning and tell the sun not to go down. Alright? So people don't have to do that. But they still can achieve what they want to achieve, and still not get limited by what we call the time frame limitations of men. So, because there is a need for us to confront the situation and say that this should not be final. This is not the final episode of my life has not been written because of this limitation. There is a way around it. There is a way around it. There is something I can do about it. And that's the second thing that these guys did. They refused the finality of the situation. Now, many of us have actually tried to confront the situation in the past, and as I'm speaking, some of you are probably thinking, look, you don't know what I've done. I've done this, I've done that. It has not changed. Now, let me tell you something. If you have ever visited the circus, they bring a couple of animals, you know, to engage in the display. Now, one of the animals that they usually use in circus, are elephants, you know. Have you seen elephants being used in circus before? On the TV, I mean. I know you probably have not been there, but on the TV, they use it. Some people use tigers and all those things, you know. And then they bring these elephants you know, a couple of them, and they tie them up to stakes, you know, just tiny, something like this microphone stand. They just tie them there. And those elephants stay there. They stay there. They don't move. Now, in the mind of the elephant, you will probably be thinking, I am limited. How I wish somebody would cut this cord so that I could move around as I want, as I would like to. Now, don't forget, an elephant is one of the very powerful animals that can move things at will. Now, but why is this elephant staying there, thinking that he's limited and he cannot move because a tiny rope has now been tied to a stake? I'll tell you why. Many of those animals, especially the elephants, when they were actually captured when they were small, as soon as they were born, they were captured. All right? And when they were captured, they were actually tied to stakes, some of them to trees. Now, the stakes were strong, deeply rooted, or at least, you know, concrete around them and, you know, really solid. And then they tied around them or around trees, you know, big trees. Now, as the elephant grows, the elephant begins to think, I shouldn't be here. So the baby elephant tries to pull himself off the hook, off the rope that was tied. And he tried several times, but he's not able to succeed. So after a while, he gives it up and said, there's no point trying, because he has tried many times and it has not worked. Now, after he has exhausted himself, after he has been there for months, perhaps even years, then the owner will get him out and then will use him, teach him a few tricks and stuff like that, and then they will bring him to circus. Now, as soon as they put the rope around him, now in this playground, he still thinks about the rope that has been put on him when he was a baby elephant. And tied to the stakes, he still wants to stay there because he has tried it before and it has not worked. Now, what the elephant is experiencing under that circumstance is not a physical restriction, it's a mental one. Because all he needed to do was to shake up the old place and the old place gets scattered. You know, many of us are like that. We are like the baby elephant that have tried to shake up the limitations of our lives in times past, and it has not worked. So we have come to a point where we don't want to keep trying because we think we're not going to succeed. Don't forget, the elephant is no longer as he used to be. He used to be a baby. He's now an adult. The grace of God upon your life has changed. Things have moved. The hand of the Lord upon your life has increased. So things were not as they used to be when you initially tried to break off the limitation. I'm challenging you to confront the limitation again. Yes, you have done it in the past, but do it again. Because things have changed. Because I'm not saying you are an elephant, but things have changed with you. You know, I mean, things have changed with me. There were things that I wasn't able to do before, but now I can do it because there is a maturity that has come forth with the reason of use of God's word and by staying in the sanctuary of God. So things have changed and we need to confront the situation. Now, because of time, let me just move closely, rush to the other two. Now, the third thing that these guys recognized was that they recognized the possibilities. They realized the possibilities. And what was the possibility they realized? Please, let us go up to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered, go. You know, one of the reasons why many of us don't want to break from the limitations that we are in is because we have not seen what is on the other side. We've not been able to picture what we can achieve on the other side. We've not been able to, get an idea of what it is on the other side. And that's why when people want to liberate people, when God wants to liberate people, what you first get them to do is to see the possibilities ahead. You remember in Numbers chapter 13, he said they should send people to go and explore the land, go and spy out the land. And when those guys were coming back, they actually got grapefruits. And those grapefruits were not the kind that you can just hold with your hand. They actually had to get it on the stake between the shoulders of two people. Why? God wanted to give them the picture of the land that we're going. God wanted them to see the possibilities in the land. So that will provoke them to want to go and explore it. Now, many of us have not seen what it is without life, without limitation. We've not seen how it is going to be. So we have not seen the possibilities. And so we don't have the drive, the impetus to want to pursue that. Now, this morning, by the grace of God, I'm challenging you to get up and see ahead the things that God has in store for you, if only you can break off from current limitations. Because there is something greater ahead. Some of us, maybe in what we have experienced some success, and we don't think there is something better. I'm telling you this morning that there is something better. There is something more glorious. If you are going to be able to ascend from where you are sitting and see further, there is a better, your marriage could be better. You know, your finances could be better. Your home could be better. Your job, you could actually secure a better job. Somebody say, oh, this one is just good enough. Don't worry, you know. Don't worry, you know. So we've not seen that possibility of a better thing ahead. And that's why we sit down with the status quo. But God is saying this morning, there is something better. As we enter into a new year, it's something better. It's better. There is a possibility ahead. There are possibilities that could be explored. So get up from your seat and see something coming from the horizon, because God has got something better for us as we enter into the new year. The final one I'm going to be talking about is that what these guys did, request for assistance. Request for assistance. Now, in breaking off from the limitation, we cannot do it by might. We cannot do it by our power. We need help. You know what these guys did? In verse 2, they've already requested that they wanted to go. And Elisha, the prophet, has told them, okay, fine, if you think that's a good idea, go. You can go. But in verse 3, the Bible says, then one said, I believe he's a very wise guy, please consent to go with your servant. And he said, and he answered, I will go. As we begin to round up this year and go into the new year, one of the things I want to challenge you with is that request for help before you enter into the year. It's good to have plans. It's good to have strategies. It's good to put things in paper. I will do this. I will do that. I will make this amend. I will set this up. It's good to have those plans. But please don't go into the year without requesting for God's assistance. You know, over the past 7 days, by the grace of God, we've been in prayer and fasting for just one reason, asking for assistance from God. The Bible says, I will look up unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. The things that we want to change, they are not things that can be changed by our physical confrontation. You can't go there and change the situation by yourself, by your power. It won't work. And perhaps that's why it's never worked for some of us, because we have always been struggling to improve on the physical element of making those changes. It does not work that way. What works is getting an assistance from God and make the determination to make the change, to change the situation. This guy said, look, thank you. You have told us we could go. Fine. But would you like to go with us? And I think that's a very wise request, because if you read that passage further, what actually happened was that when they got to where they were going and they were trying to cut down the trees, the hawk's head actually fell into the water. And they were in trouble because it was borrowed. It was not even theirs. So imagine if Elisha had not been there with them. That would have been a real trouble, because they would have lost what they needed to get the trees. They wouldn't have been able to make a new accommodation that they had planned they were going to do. And they would probably have been arrested because somebody's axe head has been lost. Somebody was going to arrest them and probably even put them into jail. Why? Because they did not take along the master. They did not take along the main person. In our life, we don't want to make journeys without going with God. And going with God is not just telling him this is what you want to do. It's about asking him to help you to accomplish it. Somebody said, but that, I want to do something and I believe it's a good thing. In fact, God lays it on my heart. Make sure you request him to go along with you. Make sure you pray and ask him for assistance, for guidance. Let him be there with you. You know what Moses said? If you're not going to go with us, Then we're not going anywhere. Let that be our position as we enter into a new year. Lord, help me. Be with me. Go with me. I know you say I shouldn't fear, but I need to know that you are with me before I attempt that venture. It's very important. So, over the next couple of weeks, what I desire that we all do is whatsoever thing that we're planning to do in the new year, whatsoever thing we believe God has laid upon our hearts to accomplish, the question I want to ask is, have you prayed about them? Have you prayed about them? Have you asked God about them? Have you sought His face to see His mind? Have you asked Him to help when you embark on the journey eventually? Because at the end of the day, what makes plan work is not because the plans are good. What makes plans work is because there is the support from a good God. Okay? What makes plans work is not because they are good plans. There are so many good plans that never see the light of the day. What makes plans work is because there is a good God who is supporting the cause. So people of God, over the next few weeks, as we begin to prepare ourselves for the great things that I believe God is setting us up for a new year, I want us to begin to follow these instructions and the teachings that we've had this morning. Recognize the limitation. Refuse the finality of the situation. Realize the possibilities ahead. And make sure you request for His assistance. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank You. Because the entrance of Your word gives life. We just thank You for what You have opened our hearts on to see this morning. Lord, we just commit everything into Your hands. I know as we are sharing the word, O God, as we are teaching the word, You are pointing our attention to different things in our lives. Limitations here and there. But Lord, we just trust You, Lord, that You will infuse into us the grace, the wisdom, the strategy to be effective in life. So that these limitations don't keep us down from obtaining and achieving the things that You have planned and You have proposed for our lives and destiny. I just pray for myself and my brethren as we prepare to enter into the new year that You do a new work in us to take us above the limitations around us into Your plan and into Your purpose for our lives. We know You have great plans, great things in store for us in the new year, but also we realize that there are limitations around us. Lord, help us to break through and help us to see ahead and to key in into what You're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.